I'm going to miss them next week. Yes. Now, I made reference that I would be preaching one service during the revival on the subject of the mark of the beast. And after consideration, I thought I would preach on that subject this morning. And I trust that you brought your Bibles and you'll follow me today, not only in the Word of God, but in your thoughts. Because I want you to think with me today along these very crucial times that we're living in. And Brother Soundman, I think that I'll preach from the pulpit mic this morning. And so just give me a little monitor. Cut them off out there. They'll be able to hear or down, whatever you think. And I'll preach from the pulpit mic. This is Sunday morning. And we're supposed to be precise and dignified. And I want to be dignified. Amen. Now, while you're turning to Revelation chapter 13, let me comment that I'm delighted to have my sister-in-law, my wife's sister. If you didn't know that, that's her sister. They look like twins, but they're not twins, they're just sisters. My wife wanted you to know that. My wife's hair is grayer. She's on crutches and she looks like she's worn out three bodies, but she wants you to know she is the youngest. Amen. In fact, not only that, she's the baby of the family. Take that any way you want to. Now, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Now, the first verse of that chapter 13 tells us about the first beast. I stood upon the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads, plural, the name of blasphemy. Now, when verse 12 speaks of exercising all the power of the first beast, it is that beast in the first verse of the 13th chapter. And now to the second beast, verse 13. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live. Now, verse 3 says, I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of a man. His number is 666. We know it simply as 666. Now, the Bible, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, inspiring John the Revelator to write these words, chose graphic language. For when he describes the Antichrist and this false prophet, he describes this man, if you please, as a beast. He is a man. Make no mistake about it. It is not a freak animal. It is not something with four animal like heads, but it is describing personality characteristics. It is describing traits. It is describing an uncontrolled, untamed, unmanaged man who is much like an animal. Now, this is not uncommon in the Bible. For there was a time when Jesus sent a message to Herod. And you who are Bible students know that he said, go and tell Herod that fox. Oh, Herod was not a fox. But his traits, his animalistic nature, the very characteristics of Herod reminded Jesus Christ of a fox. And so he took the liberty to call him a fox. Now, when John the Baptist was baptizing down at the Sea of Galilee in the river and Jordan, there were those who came out to the baptismal service. And when he saw them coming, his indignation was so stirred that John said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? He called them vipers. And a viper is a snake. Now, when Paul was said concerning one church, he said, I fought with the very beast of Ephesus. And Titus referred to some in the church as evil beast. Now, I've observed through the years that there has always been a remnant of people who act more like animals than people. That somehow their personality and their traits and their actions are just like a wild animal of the forest. That they're out of control and they're directed by what seems to be a power and a spirit from another world. Many of them will never recuperate from it. They have been planted in their minds such ideas that they'll never be able, other than the grace of God, to get over it. When I think not only in the education, but I think of what's happening in political arena. We are living in a day when man refuses to be governed. And I'll tell you, dear heart, that I care less whether you're Republican, Democrat, or Independent, whether you're conservative or liberal. We are living in a day when man refuses to be governed. And I don't care who sits in the White House. He is going to be ridiculed and mocked and rebuffed and embarrassed and humiliated around the world. Because as 2 Thessalonians chapter 7 says, that the spirit of iniquity doth already abound. And that word iniquity means lawlessness. And we have seen an onslaught like unparalleled when men strive for an office, who want to sit in a position, who want to help govern and make laws, and all we can do is sit and have character assassination and destruction of people. And the press, dear hearts, has become today the fourth party in our land. For we have Republicans, and we have Democrats, and we have independents, and then we have the press. And I don't care. You can have your opinion, and you have a right to it. But the greatest destructive force in America today is a liberal press that has become such a powerful party that they're destroying us from within and setting us up for the greatest destruction the world has ever known. Amen? Not only are we seeing confusing times in education and confusing times in politics, there has never been an equal to it in religion. I am appalled when I see what is happening in our churches, because you see, I have one foot planted fairly and solidly in Pentecostal history, another foot planted solidly in 1987 with 88 coming on, and I see such a contrast between the way I was brought up and taught and shown the power of God and the Spirit of the Lord, and I see a false prophet rising. That's when our people used to dance in the Spirit, and the power of God would come upon them, and they would shout up and down the aisles and around the altars with their eyes closed and never step on a thing or fall over anything. And then I see today a camouflage, and I see them teach them to dance, and I see them choreograph the services, and they have a built up emotion and enthusiasm that gets people excited for the moment, but they don't have any foundation to stand on when the storm comes. Amen? And I see the church as an apostate church. And I see a form of godliness that the Bible said we would have in the last days, and no power. Amen? They can work up fury, and they can work up excitement, and they can dance like the higher Krishnas, and they can wave their flags like a cheerleader at the ball game. But when it comes time to heal the sick and to raise the dead and cast out devils, there's no power there. You follow me? We know how to build great congregations. We know how to raise millions of dollars. We know how to present a program. But we're approaching a time when the Son of Man is going to sound the trump of God, and the church is leaving. And God said, I don't want you to get so involved in trying to pick out the tares. Let them all grow together. And he said, and I'll divide them in the end time. And there's a true church that's going up. And there's going to be a church that's left here. And the church that's left here may be much stronger than the church that leaves. But I want you to know that we're living in confusing hours. Strange things are happening. And there is a spirit today of an animalistic nature that is invading our land. Now, I told you that I was going to preach on the mark of the beast. Don't anybody look at your watch. I'm going to have the ushers to throw you out if they see anybody looking at their watch. And if they wind it or listen to it, get them. This is my last day to preach, so give me a few moments. Hallelujah. Now, thank you. God bless you. Now, folks, when I see the spirit that's in this world today, now, remember, I lived in the day when prophetic preaching was big. You don't hear it as much now as you used to. We used to hear a lot about it. And they had the Antichrist already lined up. They were ready to crown him because Mussolini was going to be the Antichrist for a while. They decided Hitler would make a good one. And so they prepared the stage and got ready for him to come. But yet there was some who decided that really the best one to get would be the Catholic Pope, Because, see, he's from Italy, and it sits on seven hills. He'd have seven heads and seven mountains. And he would make a wonderful Antichrist. And through the crown he wears, they decided that it adds up to 666. And that would be pretty good. But that was an update, because they kept changing that, and they couldn't find one fella to live long enough to make Antichrist out of it. And so finally one day it happened in Dallas, Texas. Our president of the United States, John Kennedy, was shot in the head and killed. And they found out he's got a wound to death in the head. And he died, and he's Catholic. And it wasn't the Pope, it was John Kennedy. And he'll make us a good Antichrist. But then they finally decided to let poor old John rest, because Henry Kissinger came along. And they found out that Henry had no regard for the women folks, and they found the Antichrist would have no regard for them. And before they could get him crowned, he blew their theory and got married. And we had to get off of Henry. Now, that's always been a problem. Who are we going to have as an Antichrist? Now, folks, it's no laughing matter. We're going to have one. Just as sure as this preacher standing here today, this man, in my estimation, is alive today. He is a man waiting in the wings, because as I see the nations of the world gathering to the Middle East, and when I see all the powers bringing their warships, moving in, and all the attention of the world is focusing more and more and more on the Middle East. And it's now, it cannot be ignored. We have to reckon with them. They're little countries, they're small, but they're holding today the wealth of the world. And they're making all the nations of the world come and bow at their shrine. And we're getting drawn in, but I want you to know that Congress or the Senate or anybody else is not going to support the great hand of God. He's gathering them together, and he's getting ready for a great one, and he's getting them ready to move in. And with this comes perplexities and more authority and powers being taken from our supreme leader. And the nations of the world, and the books that were written in history when I was in school had to be totally rewritten today, because all the border lines have changed and the countries have changed names, and it's being outdated because we're getting prepared for the end time. And dear hearts, I want you to know that in this congregation this morning sits people who have already taken the mark of a beast. I said it like that to get your attention, because there is a beast that's rising. There is a man that's coming to power. He is ruthless. He is animalistic. He has no sense of respect for God nor man, nor all of your morality or your principles. And one of those marks is the mark of an animal which is no shame. We have watched our generation toddle off to hell. We have watched as our elders, my age and older, we have watched our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, as little by little, that spirit of self-respect and pride and dignity was stripped from them, until today we live in a land when there is absolutely no shame. And that is the mark of a beast. It may sound crude to you, but I want you to know that a dog has no spirit of self-respect about him. He'll use your tire of your car as a bathroom in front of you. Think nothing about a reproduction act on the main street of town.
And when I see the way animals live, and we're living in a time when pornography has advanced to such level that there are X-rated films with the most explicit of sex acts demonstrated for the world to see. And under the disguise of religion, when it has played so prominently on the headlines of our paper, when Jessica Hahn says, "I want the world to see my body like God made it," and felt justified to collect $1 million to have her picture set. It was not a desire for anybody to see her body as God made it. It was two things involved. It was to the point that a beast-like nature has possessed her until there is absolutely no shame, and there is a wholesome lust for $1 million. And they would sell their body and sell their dignity and sell their pride for the world to view them and think nothing about it. And you couldn't hold tie one of our grandmothers today and pay them the wealth of the world to get them to even consent to dress like that in their home and nobody there. Amen? What am I trying to tell you? We're living in a day when we have so been brainwashed that we're living in a liberal time, and we are adults, and we are broad-minded, and we are able to think, and all the time we have been sold a diet, and all of our dignity has been stripped from us, and now they go down the streets, men and women, dressed such a disgrace as to bring society crying to their knees. When I see our boys, I'm so glad I don't see one here this morning, when they make such a disgrace of their hair, colored every color you can think of, stand straight out like they've been scared by a lion, and cut every kind of design through it, and send them out and say, "I love Jesus. I can't identify with it." And we have been marked animalistic nature. Amen? Until we have come to think like of no self-respect, there is no. And brother, I want you to know God didn't make you looking like that. You've got to mar and scar and degrade yourself like that. God, nudity, shameless living, pornography has become part of our day. Self-preservation is a mark of an animal. There's never been a time like it. You who were raised on the farm know what I'm talking about. But if you've ever been around great herds of hogs, we raised them. There were times when an old sow would give birth to a litter of pigs. Mother-in-law, I would always pick out the runt as our personal project. Feed it a little extra, pet it a little more, and that runt would become our little friend. But it was not unusual to go out and feed those hogs and to slop them, only to find out that that mother sow who had 10, 12, 14 little ones, not be one of them left. We'd ask Dad, "What happened to those little piglets?" "Son, mother sow ate them all." Because of a desire in her body for something she was lacking, she consumed all of her babies. Now, folk, we're living in an hour equal to that. When I see children go on a rampage and kill all their family, when I see mothers or fathers go on a rampage and kill all their children and kill their wife and then shoot themselves, when I see parents who will sell their bodies and sell their future just for the craving of their bodies. And they don't care if they're going to bring a deformed child into this world that is born with AIDS, or born an alcoholic, or born addicted to drugs, that they will consume it on their own lust just because they want it, just because they have to have it. And they are killing a generation of people. And there is a spirit today and a mark of an animal that is upon this generation of self-preservation that says, I'm gonna get it, I want it, and I don't care who it hurts, I don't care who it destroys, I don't care who I have to step on, I'm going to the top, and nobody's gonna stand in my way. I'm gonna get what I want. And I've watched that spirit in the church, I've watched it at the business place, I've watched it down at the market. I've seen it in Washington. I've seen it in the schools. And there's a spirit in the mark of a beast that's rising and rising and rising. And we as a nation are being consumed by it. Self-preservation. It's my life, and I'll do with it as I please. Nobody is going to do what. And the preacher stands in the pulpit and he begs and pleads, bring your family to church. Teach them the ways of God. Get them in the altar. Get with God. And they'll stand up and say, preacher, it's none of your business. We'll go where we want to, when we want to, and we'll come to church when we get ready, because we're Christians and we love God, and no one tell us what to do, and we're going to heaven anyway. And there's a spirit today that says, bless God, I'll prove it. Live like I want to live because I'm still a Christian. Now, folks, not enough for you to say you have God. The question is, does God have you? Amen? And you can call his name, you can profess his name, and you can come and pay homage, and you can pay tax on Christianity, but when the real test comes, you're going to find that there is a spirit of an animal. Folk, we're living in a time when the Bible says that craft would prosper. Never been a time known in the history of the world as today. There has never been so much money flowing as today. It may have touched your oil-related industry in America. I want you to know that we live in the day of billion-dollar mergers. We live in a day when big business is swallowing up and consuming small. And when there is a ruthless takeover, and no man is safe, because it's known in the business world as a hostile takeover, and men are being consumed by the big conglomerate, and their businesses are going up, and they're being taken over. The Bible says that craft would prosper in the last days. I'm seeing that same thing happen in churches. We're being consumed today in the local assembly by what is known as the electrical church. It's in dynamic living color. It is in edited animation. And only that which is perfected comes out. See, you never hear a microphone ring. You never hear anything like we might experience. And we might take the liberty to do what we want to, but that edited, animated, all glorious electrical church comes to you and live in color with all the finest and the greatest singers and talent and the most excellent message on prosperity and divine health and everything you want to hear to make you successful and happy. And because of it, our people are going every direction, and they're supporting every kind of ministry you can think of. But excuse me while I just preach for a moment. I want you to know, dear hearts, that God has called you to evangelize Northwest Houston. Amen? And all of your money, and all of your tithe, and all of your time, and all of your talent and all of your energy should be channeled right here to Glad Tidings Assembly of God Church. For out of this church, you can support missionaries around the world. You can support ministries reaching this community. And you've got pastors and musicians and singers. And you can do the work for God right here. But you send your offerings and your tithes all over the United States. And you trust in God that they're doing what they say. But I want to ask you something. How many times have you heard those ministers get up and say, all of you who live around Glad Tidings Assembly of God Church, go there this morning and worship God and pay your tithe. But they will beg for every dime you have and cry that their ministries are hurting. And what are they doing? In sincerity, folks, we're living in a day when we're being attracted away from, because we want to be a part of the big happening. But I want you to know there is nothing bigger happening in the world than what's happening right here at Glad Tidings today. As far as God's concerned, you're concerned. God's called you to do it here. Amen? May we realize that you cannot buy a success package from God. Amen? I want you to know, dear hearts, no evangelist has a right to your tithe. No radio pastor, and I want to drop a little word here, there ain't no such thing as a radio pastor. Amen? He may be a radio preacher, but he's not a radio pastor. And if you think he is, you call him at midnight and tell him you just got to have him. There's no such thing as a radio or TV pastor. The church is commissioned to take the gospel to everybody, whether he is incapacitated or not. The church does that. The radio doesn't do it. The TV doesn't do it. The church does it. Man. Hallelujah. Now, I'm the only one that's running a tight schedule. I got to go to Troop and start again tonight. All you got to do is go to Loopy's. Amen. I want a kickback for that plug. Now, I'm going to close by saying this. Dear hearts, God's not a slot machine. You can't go and put $10 in, get $100 back. Amen? You can't put $100 in and get $1,000 back. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. Every time God blesses you, you can take the first fruit out. And you can bring it faithfully and give it to God. And watch God bless you. And as he blesses you, you bring it to him. But God's not a slot machine. And I want to tell you something else. I don't care what that TV preacher says. God doesn't have any blessings that's $50 blessings. Or $100 blessings. Amen? I don't care if he did pick you out and you're a little widow woman sitting there in front of that TV and he said he sees you. He lying. I'll tell him that if you'll get him. He's lying. He'll make you think God's talking to you and chisel you out of everything. I'm going to tell you what. If you've got $100 to give, you bring it to your local assembly. And you put it in that offering and you rejoice all the way home and say, I'm going to spread the gospel at home. And I'm going to feed the orphans. And I'm going to send missionaries. And I'm going to support my work. And I'm going to be faithful to it. And God will bless me. I'm talking about a mark, folk, of an animal. Because that spirit is coming upon us that we're becoming renegades. We want to do our own thing, untamed, unbroke. And we're going out and living every way you can think of. God wants to put a new heart in you this morning. God wants to take that heart of stone out and put a heart of flesh. He wants to give you a wonderful spirit. He wants to tame you. He wants to brew. He wants to make you fit for the service where you can put your hands to the plow and you can work. And you'll quit kicking the traces. And you'll quit fighting the program. But you'll hook up and you'll pull. And you'll work for the glory of God. Amen? If you see yourself acting like an animal, you see yourself acting unbroken, untamed, you need to pray, oh God, I do not want a mark of an animal on me. But I want the mark of a Christian. The mark of the Master. The mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful congregation who has been so blessed.